I'm Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing a wide range of research projects in which our academics are currently involved. My guests today are Dr. Charles Parch, who is coordinator of the Esteem Leonardo project, about which we are going to talk today. And with him is Miss Andrea Dibben, who is the project's manager. And I'd also like to mention Elaine McAuliffe, who unfortunately couldn't be with us today, but who is part-time project officer. Welcome to you both. Thank you very much for coming on the programme. This Esteem Leonardo project, can you tell us a little bit the genesis of it, how it came to be and what it's really aiming at?
I think it must have been about 5 years ago. There was a meeting in Iceland, and people from the National Commission on Disability were in a meeting with people from Britain and from Bulgaria, and they joined together and they said, let's do a project. You see, there's many people with disability who don't go to university and don't do tertiary education because of the disability. And besides them, there's other people who've got other social disadvantages. And that's how the project started off. We had a project of about 2 years, and we were partners with Commissione Nazionale per le Disabilità. Now we're having a second project in which we're widening up. It's not just people with disability, but anybody who has got the capacity, the capability to do a university course or a course at MCAST or at ITS, who, because of life circumstances, is being held back. So people who, because of poverty, because they had to work, didn't go to university at the same time as their peers. Women who became mothers, for example, lost this opportunity, or else people from another ethnic group, people who come from a different educational system. And what we do is we're giving them an evening course of sessions once a week, basically, in which we give them skills, we give them information, and basically we give them encouragement, and they're also given the support of a mentor, which we hope very much, and this is confirmed by our experience, enables them to make the step which perhaps beforehand they were finding too difficult.
And this is a common problem. Looking at your list of partners, it's obviously a common problem in other European countries. So we're not doing this on our own here in Malta. You've obviously got people who are working on the project with you.
That's true. We're cooperating with De Montfort University, which is in Leicester. And their course is for people who intend to do their social work course. Some of them are qualified but have got disabilities. Some of them have got other social disadvantages, and some people who are especially of a mature age who need to get back into the education system and into studying. So it is something which is very much tied to a particular course. But then when you go to Bulgaria, in Bulgaria they are focusing on people who work with people with disabilities in daycare and in institutions. We have found out, you see, we're people who, all of us are people who are directly interested in social work. We come from the department that gives the social work course. But in Bulgaria, there's very little by way of formal education for social work. So they had to look around, and they found out that one group that really needs help and encouragement is people who work in residential homes and institutions, in daycare with people with disability, who, given this course, are encouraged to take further training. In this way they found out a target group which is completely different from that of the two other countries, and this shows the flexibility of the idea of the project itself.
Perhaps for our listeners who aren't familiar with the workings of this EU project development, where does the budget come from really for a project of this nature?
This is largely budgeted by the EU, by the Leonardo program. they give us about 75% of the budget that we need, and we use it to employ people part-time. But the university also has the obligation to contribute one-fourth. And usually this is through full-timers giving hours of their time in order to get this work done. So it is co-financed also by the University of Malta. It takes part of our resources, which the university is very happy to contribute.
And in fact, the EU is very fiscal. I know, because I've been involved in EU projects myself, about the budgets. It's very, very highly controlled. How do you cope with that, or don't?
Let us say that it's quite challenging, in the sense that it is a meeting of cultures and a meeting of systems. And very often you've got to be careful not to have the problem of having to pass through three or four different sieves, which have got different shapes, of holes of different shapes. So when what comes out of the fifth sieve is infinitesimal and is very hard. But it's good to see, basically, that after a lot of hard work, the university is developing a project office which is going to be up to the entrepreneurship and the flexibility, but also the accountability that is required in order to both be flexible and dynamic and to be able to do things in a forward-looking way, and also to give clear and full account of every cent that is expended over it. And that's quite a challenge, but we're facing it.
Andrea, perhaps I could bring you in at this juncture to talk a little bit about the actual content of the course that you are actually developing.
Especially this time round, as Charles was saying, we have expanded the scope of the project to prepare students on the preparation program for tertiary or vocational education in all sectors, rather than just the social professions. Students who are interested in any type of course, it could be teaching, engineering, it could be vocational, such as hairdressing, for example, or childcare, are encouraged to attend a preparation program. In a way, it is a process. So the preparation program is built in a way to help the individuals build themselves throughout the way. So the first time we meet them, we give them a guidebook to help them decide whether they would like to be on the program or not. This guidebook contains information about the program as well as a self-assessment of their skills. So from the start, they would be assessing themselves on their ICT skills, reading, writing, working with other people, because most people who approach this project see it as something impossible in a way to access tertiary education, because they don't have much experience and formal qualifications perhaps. However, when they start looking at their own experience and at their skills, they will start realizing that they do have quite a number of skills that they can utilize in the program. So then there is a selection exercise after they apply, where we test their literacy levels and their aptitude, because they have to have a certain English level of reading and writing in order to be able to follow the program. The first time they come on the program, they have a mentoring workshop where they learn how to be mentees, because they will be assigned to a mentor who are actual university students. They will be meeting regularly with them, for example, once a week or once every 2 weeks. It's up to negotiation. And they will be supported by these mentors. So the first time they will learn what it is expected out of them to be mentees, what they would expect from their mentors, what are the boundaries, what are the methods of practice of this relationship, because it is a relationship. The next time they come on the program, the next week, because this is every week, they will be matched with their mentors, they will meet with their mentors there, and will also be given a sort of introduction to the whole program. The program consists mainly of two modules. One of them is key skills, where the students are, it's 6 weeks of sessions, and It is basically, they are interactive sessions with discussions and time to talk about their life experience, and they discuss study skills, for example, how to take notes, how to research, how to carry out an assignment, also social skills, how to communicate, how to manage conflict, how to work in a team, and especially skills to build their self-confidence, skills of self-awareness, managing their time, managing anxiety and stress of becoming a student and overcoming challenges. In the same time, during these 6 weeks, there is an element of career guidance, because these are persons who come from diverse backgrounds and who are encouraged to pursue their education in diverse courses. So there is an element of career guidance where they will be asked, they will be expected to meet with a career advisor, to also engage in activities, even online activities of career matching. And by the end of the 6 weeks, they will have a clearer idea of what are those courses that they are interested in. After this process is over, then the students are clustered into smaller groups. And over there, they are invited to attend sessions, introductory sessions to different courses with different lecturers in all the courses available at university and hopefully even MCAS and ITS. So they might choose, for example, I'm interested in teaching, I'm interested in social work and in nursing. So they will be clustered in small groups of students who have similar interests, and they will attend a 1.5 hour session with a particular person who teaches on the specific course, where they will be given an introduction to the course, what skills are expected, what qualifications are needed, what they should expect from the course and from the career in the future. So that is basically the gist of the preparation program. Apart from that, they also have, it's a blended element, so they have online learning incorporated within it. They get training in ICT at the IT services at university, and there is also a strong element of building a group together and learning to work with different people, learning to work with people from different backgrounds and with different experiences.
I can imagine that the idea of group work would be rather difficult in a group of people who mm-hmm. probably have actually quite diverse mm-hmm. problems, I mean, mm-hmm. for want of another word, diverse situations, let's say. Mm-hmm. And I suppose that the mentor system goes some way to alleviating that problem of having to cope with different people's mm-hmm. different situations, so mm-hmm. they can be, it can be sort of personalized almost. Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the main aims of the mentoring is, first of all, to act as a sounding board for them. So after class, you know, they might feel frustrated, they might feel a bit lost, especially in the beginning. So they can go to their mentor, and the mentor can guide them through these issues. As well, each student has different needs. Some would need to work on certain skills, some would need to work on other skills. So the mentoring serves as a sort of personalized tuition in a way, but it's also a two-way relationship, because it's not the mentor giving everything to the mentee. It's both of them working together.
And the different groups that you're intending to attract for these courses, to move a step backwards, really, how are you actually going to attract them to apply at all? Because we're talking mm-hmm. about people who, as you said before, definitely aren't going to immediately think of tertiary mm-hmm. education as a way mm-hmm. forward for them.
Mm-hmm. What has worked both in the past project and in this one is ourselves going out to the community organizations where a lot of these people attend and have contact. So we have actually contacted organizations who work with disabled persons, with single mothers, childcare centers, for example, where we can reach out to mothers, agencies such as Caritas, who hold groups for separated persons, for persons who have issues of loneliness, for example. We have also reached out to open centers where asylum seekers live, and we have had a quite good response from these organizations, because what we do is engage the staff who work in these organizations. We engage the people working in the organizations, and they sort of help us to recruit the people who use their services.
We get them on board.
Yes, we get them on board with us.
Before moving on to another subject with Dr. Parch, I'd just like to remind listeners that this is Patricia Camilleri talking to Dr. Charles Parch and Ms. Andrea Dibben about their EU projects, which they're involved in at the moment. Dr. Parch, talking about content with Andrea, shows that there's an enormous amount of work going into this project. And obviously you are looking for practical results, in the sense that you would like to get some of these people, at least at the end of the day, to take on tertiary education or ITS or MCAST or whatever. So you're going to have a sort of a product at the end of the day. I know that the EU is very keen on what they call deliverables. So is this your mm-hmm. deliverable?
Yes, the main deliverable would be people who actually go on to tertiary education, come into the and start a course at university, MCAST or ITS or a similar institution, and especially if there is evidence that these people wouldn't have done it unless given this special push forward through esteem. On the other hand, it's also been observed by ourselves and by our other partners that even people who don't decide to make such a decision get a lot of benefit from the skills that they learn, because the skills to organize your work, the skill to study, the skill to relate to people, the skill to have a creative and positive attitude to life's challenges is also helpful. We also find out that the very exercise of connecting with so many of the stakeholders itself should be part of the impact and part of the deliverable, in the sense that one of the things that we're doing, for example, is providing them with a tool which we call LOCWAP, which basically is something which they hold in their hand. It's a folder which consists in a questionnaire which helps them to make decisions about the future, but it also connects with a website which we shall be creating, in which we shall give them information about the bodies and organizations and facilities that exist here, which can help them in career guidance. We found out that since, unlike the other partners, we deal not only with just one profession and just one vocation, but we wanted to extend it and widen it up as much as possible. And many people will come to us and they still haven't made their decision. And so we can't do it all. We can't give them all the information and all the help. So we tell them about what is available at the university, what is available for the various categories of people, who unmarried mothers should address, who asylum seekers should address, where there is information about such things. Even, for example, our contacts with the Malta Qualifications Council. In Malta we've got this council, which seems to be very dynamic, and Malta seems to be one of the leaders in the process, which wants to regulate qualifications in such a way that not making them more rigid, but actually is the opposite. In fact, one of the things that they're working on is the use and the better use of non-formal qualifications. People are better qualified for a job or even to start a course, not only because of the paper qualifications that they have, but through the experiences that they've had. So we're joining hands with the Malta Qualifications Council, we hope, in such a way that we help this process that they're working on, so that people will have a system in which, let's suppose, one of them has been a leader of young people. And so he or she can write it up in a more or less standard way, which shows which were the skills that were used. Somebody has addressed groups, somebody has experience of art, maybe painting, maybe music. The very process of us getting in contact with them and putting the information on a website and making available a portfolio, initially an empty ring file, but with directions and guidance, which will help people to make use, to valorize, to bring out these experiences that they have. We hope very much that this will not only help in people getting jobs, because they've got very well written up what they've done, but we also dream of the day when students, especially of a mature age, can come to the university, and besides showing their formal qualifications, they can show their experiences, and this could be counted as part of the qualifications make them qualified. In Malta we tend to be rigid. That's probably because we're a small country and we're afraid of nepotism. But if we find a system whereby what is non-formal is given a system or in a way formalized, then these abilities, these experiences are not lost, but they can be documented, and in such a way people who come to education not from the usual pathways, which is basically the main aim of the project, are helped to get in. I mean, basically, we're working for non-traditional students, people who haven't come straight from sixth form, but from other pathways. We want to help them to get in and have a place and to be included.
And at the end of the day, you're going to be helping these students, hopefully. You're going to be offering them information at various levels. As far as the sort of the research element in this goes, will the knowledge that you have gathered, will it be in a place where it can be accessed by other academics, by other people who are interested in the same sort of projects? I presume that with your partners you do share information.
We've done the research of the soft type at the end of our first bout, when we did our first project, and much of it was by way of focus groups, small meetings of five, six people who were involved directly, and we got enormous insight. And the second time round, we're learning and applying the experiences that we've had. Looking back, it seems to have finished very, very fast, but now I think we're thinking from the very beginning of having a very good website and hopefully also publications. We also would like to develop a process whereby new partners and new countries can come in. We've just had a meeting last week in Istanbul in which we had a very good audience of Turkish people and institutions, and we want to create ways in which they can get into the project and connect with us and use the learnings that we have achieved. So that is part of our aim.
And thinking towards the end of the project, now you're still more or less at the beginning of this project, now you're sort of more or less well into it. At the end of the day, when the 2 years, is it 2 years, have passed,
yes,
will there be a possibility of this kind of approach becoming mainstream,
mm-hmm, Andrea? In fact, part of the regulations, in a way, part of our responsibilities is to embed the project and mainstream it. In fact, for example, the training that the mentors are given is already mainstreamed as part of a study unit. So students reading for a degree in social work or social policy can register for getting training as mentors as an optional study unit. So that has already sort of been mainstreamed. We would be very, you know, it is part of our intentions to try to continue carrying out this preparation program. Now, obviously, when it comes to funding, that is something that still needs to be discussed and planned. But whether through another EU project or in alternative ways, we plan to do this. Something else that is an opportunity at the moment and we are looking into it is to extend this program to Gozo as well, through a community organization who already have a program running in schools for single mothers and who are very much interested in incorporating the preparation program into the program that they already have existing. So that is one way of sort of making sure that this becomes part of the calendar.
Exactly, part of the mindset.
Yes.
I noticed that there are some NGOs involved in your other partners, and perhaps if a project like yours is set up in a university milieu where you've got the real expertise on the educational level, on the sociology level, etc., and then perhaps the civil society could be sort of brought in on board, that would certainly be a way of continuing the project after the EU funding has actually been used up.
In fact, we envisage that the website, which will be very much the tool whereby the project can be continued and its benefit, will have information about NGOs and other agencies that help people with various social disadvantages. And this, the very exercise of building up the information, puts us in contact with these people. We're in fact supporting them in what they're doing to support the people who got various types of social disadvantage.
Well, we run out of time. Thank you very, very much for being on the program, Dr. Charles Parch and Ms. Andrea Dibben, and I wish you all the luck with this project, esteemed Leonardo.
Thank you very much.
If you would like further details about the University of Malta's research projects or any other information, please access our website at www.um.edu.mt. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.